Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
All right, good morning, everyone. Rich Castleman over here, live in Buckhead on our Buckhead Business Radio X studios. And a great day this morning. We're enjoying another change of weather, tax season, and congratulations to the Masters winner, Bubba Watson, right? I drew a blank on his name there for a second, yeah. All right, so I'm excited. We got a great lineup here this morning. A little bit unknowingly, we have quite a few people kind of in agricultural and business, or at least in that background of that field. And we're also going to be talking to a couple of folks with an inspirational story on a school and what they're doing for kids in the local Atlanta community, and kind of a unique twist. And I checked out their website, so you want to tune in for that. And first up, we have our first guest is, I had my notes out of order here, right here. Yeah, it's actually Kate and Pete, right? So welcome to the studio here this morning. Yeah. How are you all so far?
Great. Thanks for having us.
Okay.
Great to be here.
Nice. And what happened to my, okay, apologize for that. So we are live, by the way, as you can tell. So so Kate and Pete, you guys are with the Southeastern Horticultural Society, and you have some exciting news in the works here today. Tell us a little bit about the organization and you know, how that kind of came about.
Sure. The Southeastern Horticultural Society actually grew out of the direction of the Southeastern Flower Show, which is an annual event that's been taking place for about 26 years. The leaders of the Flower Show realized they had a whole lot of resources at their disposal and wanted to really get those back into the community, and started the Hort Society in 2008. And our mission really is to connect people to nature, providing learning platforms for people to create thriving communities through plants. So that's what we do.
Outstanding. And Pete, how long have you been playing in dirt, as they say, right?
Well, playing in dirt since I was a kid, but got involved with the Horticulture Society in, I guess, late December, and helping them with their garden show this year. And it's really exciting for me to be part of this, because I can see how it's really going to change the landscape of Atlanta with these amazing farms that are getting produced and put together right in our backyard.
Yeah. And so what's y'all's mission? I guess what's the end game, or the big picture here?
To get people excited about plants and connect them in their own communities where they live with the natural resources that are there.
Right, yeah. Because there's just a lot here that it's a tree in the forest kind of thing, right? You just kind of, especially in Buckhead, you just see all these buildings. But, I mean, it's great to see some greenery brought right into the city, right?
It's not just greenery, too. It's also showing people it's really easy to have a healthy, thriving, active life in the very community where they live. So we encourage everything we do is organic. We help people see the easy way to grow fresh food, how to grow their own soil, how to really create something truly sustainable. And I know that word gets used a lot, but that really ultimately is our goal.
And how long has the Flower Show been around? How long have you guys been hosting that?
It's been a little over 26 years.
Wow.
So the show this year will be at the Buckhead Theater. And we're celebrating the renovation of the Charlie Loudermilk Park as well. So we've got quite a group of people coming together for this show.
Yeah, I actually drove by that the other day, and it's in full swing. There's just it's all turned upside down, right? You wouldn't recognize it from just weeks ago, right?
That's right. And yeah, our involvement is to create permanent legacy gardens as sort of an outgrowth of the Flower Show. So as the park gets developed, we'll come in with our experts and create these really beautiful permanent gardens throughout the park.
And the Buckhead Theater, why did you guys choose that as a venue? Or
After the show, we do a lot of outreach to get people's feedback, and we had gotten a lot of requests to bring the show back into the community where it started, and all the pieces just came together. The theater approached us, the park was really wanted to connect the Flower Show with the renovation of the park, and just all the pieces lined up, and we couldn't be happier.
Right, yeah. So what's the, is that all going to be ready in time for the big show, or park, yeah.
No,
what
it
stage
won't.
Is it going to be in, I guess?
It's still going to be in pretty early development. Yeah. But the fun thing about it is, you know, we're the kind of organization that we don't do a one-shot deal and disappear. So
right.
we'll continue to come in and work with the park throughout its development.
Yeah. And what are some of the activities of the garden show, Pete?
Wow, there's a whole host of activities, including a marketplace where there will be an opportunity for folks to come through and actually, you know, buy things that can help them support their horticultural desires. We have an amazing list of speakers, which I'll let Kate get more into, but, you know, it's a who's who list of speakers, including folks like, you know, Steve Penley, who has some roots in horticultural as well as obviously in art. So 3 days, April 25th through the 27th, and it's going to be, you know, wall-to-wall from 8 to basically 6 on Friday and Saturday and 8 to 5. Sorry, 11 to 6 on Friday and Saturday and 11 to 5 on Sunday. So should be an amazing time for everyone, especially those who have not been to a horticultural society event like the flower show. So I highly recommend everyone to come out.
So some of those speakers are going to be our very own Vince Dooley, who, yes,
really?
Is.
Oh, wow. The Vince Dooley?
Yeah. The Vince Dooley. He's a master gardener and a very serious horticulturist. Also, Dr. Michael Durr, who is, you know, the guru of all plants. Every book I studied as a horticulturist, Michael Durr wrote. We've got Steve Satterfield, who is the chef at Miller Union. And, of course, Walter Reeves will be there. And we've got some chefs. We've got Jenna Knox, who's going to be talking about her new book, Southern Way. And just a host of different folks. We have Jeff Ross from Blackberry's Farm and Ryan Gainey, a very well-known local horticulturist.
So these chefs, will they just be wearing their jackets? Or are they going to actually be cooking up anything or handing out vegetables or what?
I'm going to let that surprise unfold at the show.
Nice. Good call, whatever. Yeah. you got to give them a little extra, yeah.
Carrots.
There you go. Nice. There's so many puns here.
I know.
Like
it's
when
endless.
You said the guy's roots in the business, yeah. So what a great lineup of speakers, right?
And there's kids activities on Saturday,
too. Oh, okay.
Too.
Yeah, what are some examples of what might they partake
Home Depot is one of our sponsors, so they always bring these kids kits so kids can make birdhouses and all kinds of fun projects. And then at one of our urban farms, we have a herd of goats that clear the land when we're developing them. So the goats will be there. Our little potbelly pig, Albert, will be there, and some chickens. So kids can hang out with the farm animals.
I'm a big fan of Shark Tank. I don't know if you saw the episode where there was a guy that had the whole his whole business plan was he would rent a goat, I think was the name. He would rent out these goats to clear the property land. Yeah.
It's a business.
I had no idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the best
amazing.
Way to do it.
But he won't be there, right? But
well, the goats will.
Yeah,
the important players
exactly.
will be there.
Exactly, yeah. You got plenty of attendees, but you throw in a few goats to the event. Yeah.
And we also have someone from the Puppetry Arts will be there making puppets with kids.
Man.
So that's Pete, Saturday.
So, Pete, it's probably easier to ask what's not going to be there, right?
Well, that's the thing.
Chemicals.
Is, yeah, no chemicals.
Nice. Organic, right?
It's all organic. And nice. The thing that's really cool for me is it's right in the heart of Buckhead, right? We're talking about the Buckhead Theater right between the intersection of Roswell Road and Peachtree. And we're going to have, you know, this amazing event that most people won't ever touch unless they come out for it. So this is the advantage for the city of Atlanta to really get out there and see what's going on in their city.
Yeah, I mean, that is a pretty cool, interesting mix or blend of venues, whatever, right? For the outdoor Louderman Park right there, and they can actually see what's in the works and development in real time, but then the event at the theater there. So that was recently renovated. You're not going to be like bring a lot of dirt in there and causing havoc, are you?
Actually, we are bringing dirt in.
Oh, nice.
But what is really wonderful about working with everybody at the Buckhead Theater who have just been so great throughout this process is we come up with a crazy idea and they say, oh, well, we can figure out how to do that. So there will be actual entire gardens set up in the theater. Home Depot is going to be doing this. They're going to basically take an entire room and turn it into a garden.
Wow.
So you have to come by. Just
yeah, for sure.
To see.
I remember when you spoke at the BBA, the Buckhead Business Association, and just kind of, it's pretty exciting. It's very, very different, like Pete was saying, right in the heart of the city or whatever, right? So who's your audience? I mean, who would be attending an event? Who are you trying to attract, I guess, or who typically shows up to this event?
anyone who's a horticultural enthusiast, anyone who loves plants, who loves landscapes, who loves flowers, who loves to eat, you know, so I think it's a really good
gamut. I'm in one of those categories, yeah, probably the latter, but yeah. But it's amazing. Sometimes you show up at an event like that, and you really just thought, well, that's gonna be something cool to check out. And you get kind of, that's your first, you know, tease or entry into it, and all of a sudden you become, you know, a big fan.
One of our other sponsors is Fiskars, and they're going to have this hilarious, what do we want to call it, Pete? It's like a
roadshow of some kind.
They have this this big
vehicle
filled with tools, and they open the doors, and they just have all these demonstrations going on. So there's just a lot of different activities. But so anybody interested in tools, come down and check out the Toolmobile.
Kate, you're good at this, pretty much covering the whole spectrum of people. So so who else, or what else should I know about the, is there anything else on the list that we haven't covered on the show?
There's a fantastic opening night party on Thursday night. You can come in advance and have some really delicious treats from, who is providing our food?
Well, the Intercontinental Hotel a huge sponsor of ours, and they're helping us put on the party for that evening. So it's going to be, you know, they're specialists at this. So if you've ever stayed in an Intercontinental Hotel, you know the quality of the food that they serve. So highly encourage you to come out for that.
And it gets you into the show before everybody else. You get a sneak preview.
Oh, okay. But you can't stay overnight then or whatever and be first in line, yeah.
You could walk over to the St. Regis and spend the night.
There you go. Okay, so so where can I buy tickets or find out more information about the event?
You can go on our website, which is www.sehort.org.
And I was looking at that, and so that stands for?
Southeastern Horticultural Society.
.org. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, I really appreciate you all being here this morning. It's pretty exciting. I'm going to clear my calendar and sneak in and see if I can get my hands dirty and pick up some fruit and vegetables and maybe learn something about what y'all are doing.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
We look forward to seeing you.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for being here. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Rich. Really appreciate it as well.
Yeah. Cool. So, and speaking of food and farm, and it's just coincidence that our next guest happened to be in the studio here this morning. Well, as a invited guest, but just the stars aligning or whatever. Now Mary Blackman is with FarmStarLiving.com. It's a new lifestyle brand that celebrates American farming. You launched your free FarmStar Living app. And it's quick, easy access to farm table restaurants in major cities throughout the U.S., farms open to the public. Also activity, because you think about the farm to table, which makes sense, but it's also connecting people with the activities happening at farms that are open to the public. You're a third-generation farmer, which is, if you saw her in the studio, you're like, I don't see you out there on the farm, but yeah, from Arkansas. And you've worked for publishing houses, internet companies, Wired, Walt Disney, Internet Group, right? Mm-hmm. You launched your first, founded the SpaAddicts.com, first national discount site for the spa and wellness industry, which grew to a multi-million dollar business. But in 2008, you had some news, you'll probably share with us about your family farm and that in Arkansas and Louisiana it might be sold. Mm-hmm. And you didn't want the family to kind of lose on that, so you kind of, this helped springboard what you're currently doing, was with the FarmStar Living. So welcome to the show,
Thank
Mary.
You,
how are you
Rich.
This morning?
I'm doing really well. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So before we get into a couple of questions, you know, tell us a little bit about, I guess, along with support of your brother, how did this, you know, come about as far as, you know, helping the family farm?
Well, I'm from Arkansas. Then we moved to Louisiana right across the border.
Right.
So, you know, my mom's family owned a farm. We've had a farm in our family for generations. My grandfather started rice farming. It initially was a tree farm.
Right.
But then we ended up going into rice in the 50s. And my grandfather started that in southeastern Arkansas. So bottom line is I was never involved in the farm. I was really, I mean, I grew up around it, but I didn't really learn how to work the farm. But one day in 2008, my uncle called me when my mom had passed away. He'd been running it on her, you know, behalf and my brother's on my behalf. And he basically said, you know, I'm turning 80. I'm ready to retire. And actually, I've gotten an offer on my land that I just don't think I can refuse. And he said that I could also sell the land that was still left to me or my brother, or do whatever I want with it. And I decided at that time that there's really no way I could part with my family farm. I left my life in Los Angeles. I moved back down to the South. I started farming and understanding how difficult the process is, how hard it is. I became mentored. Well, I was mentored by fellow farmers, and I just had so much respect for the career choice, the work, the passion that's involved on a daily basis, and it just inspired me. So over the years, I started thinking about ways I could basically showcase these wonderful, tireless, courageous people who dedicate their lives to feeding us all, and often, you know, maybe are not quite understood. So that started Farmstar Living.
Now, were you still involved with the Small Addicts, or had you already
that? Or? I had hoped that I could do both, but I realized farming was a full-time opportunity. But now at this point, I've been able to lease my farm. I lease it to a family, and I've been able to work with them somewhat, of course. Right. But I have more free time now, which is why I
launch this project. So you've got to have the best of both. You still kind of have your hands in that a little bit. But so tell us about the launch and the idea behind Farmstar Living.
Well, Farmstar Living really evolved, and it is involved. Right. But basically, I ended up wanting to provide a resource where when people are traveling also, they could find restaurants that support those local communities, those local farmers. And I realized there was nothing out there that really aggregated the farm-to-table restaurants in cities all across the United States. In addition to that, I wanted people to connect to farming. And I wanted to give them opportunities to take their kids to a petting zoo or to go pick berries or hay rides or whatever it might be. And it was really hard to find that, especially in a way that is really easy to use. So I ended up creating a resource with farmstarliving.com to have not only great profiles on farmers so people can understand who farmers are, but also a farm-to-table resource all across the United States and basically agritourism, but repurposed as fun. So I have a big farm fun finder. I have all the states in all the farms that are open to the public in every state across the United States. You can break it down by organic farm, by bee farm, by bed and breakfast, by pumpkin patches, by places to milk a cow. Anything you're looking for, you can find it on farmstarliving.com. And then I launched the app, and that's free. It's on the... What are you looking
at? Well, actually, I actually downloaded it yesterday. Whatever. Yeah, it is pretty cool. I was
looking at
it yesterday. Downloaded the app, and I was able to. It shows all the locations throughout the U.S. Has the map, obviously, and then pulled in Georgia and pulled up Atlanta. Has the local restaurants right here. Canoe was on my short list. I've heard about Canoe. I've never been there, but it's right here on the app. And I'm thinking. And then, sorry to interrupt
Go
here,
right
whatever, but. But then right there, I was able to click the call button, and their phone rings right there at Canoe. I can get directions just with one click. I can see the rating. It's pretty it's a very interactive, very robust app. A lot of times you just go there, and the app is just like a picture and a name and a phone number or something like that. But I went to California because I used to live out there, and I found some places in California out there as well, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, we've been working on it since 2012.
Yeah.
So it's very robust. There are farms all over the U.S. that are open to the public. There are farm-to-table restaurants all over the United States, and it is a free service. We, enlist restaurants and farms. We do not charge them, and it's a free app.
And speaking of farms around Georgia, I also was on the app yesterday, and I noticed tell us about like the kids' activities or, visiting the farm rather than, we've talked about farm to table,
mm-hmm.
but I went to, on the app I saw where, in Canton, Cagle's Farm was mm-hmm. was on the app. And I don't know if y'all have been there before up in Canton. So they do the big, hayride and, haunted, the maize, whatever, the corn maze during the fall.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty cool place.
See, and those are the kind of things that we want people to be able to do. So many people have maybe never been to a farm. I call them farm curious. And this is a way for them to really take their families out or their friends and have a road trip and just get involved. So every month we have feature stories on the fun activities you can do. Like this month, it's about what's buzzing and blooming, which is bee farms and flower farms. And next month's about pick your own berries, all the berry farms.
Well, you should have the flower show in Buckhead on there, whatever. What's buzzing and blooming, whatever.
I know. Yeah. For sure.
Leaving your career background, you know, and turning, you know, from the city to the farm, I mean, how often do you get back to the farm, or what's the blend or mix?
I moved to Atlanta at the very end of 2010.
Okay.
And I spent most of 2011 and 2012 on the farm. Last year was really about developing my business. So my time was a little more sparse, but I do get back there. I still am very involved. I'm trying to do a lot of environmental initiatives with the farm. Been doing a lot to protect the wildlife, the natural habitat, a lot of things that I feel are really important.
So I guess, you know, in rolling out this this app or the website and the FarmStar Living, I guess what's your challenge what challenges do you, I guess, you incur?
You know, we're doing something that really hasn't been done before that I've seen. So it's kind of just bringing this whole world to the general public and to let them know that we're there. Like, I just returned from, you know, doing farmer markets in Austin. And when I was passing out my collateral, people were like, wow, this is an answer to our prayers. You know, we've been looking for something like this. I was just at the Decatur Farmer Market on Saturday, and people were saying, wow, we needed you yesterday because we took our kids out to a petting zoo. So my challenge is to get the word out. Everything I do is to really support the farmer in the world of farming. So I need to get that message out as quickly and as, you know, widespread as possible. That's always a challenge.
Absolutely, yeah.
But we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. So we're using social media to shout out for the farms that are on our site, for the restaurants with their great, you know, wonderful menus that they offer. So people can get a lot of information about us there too.
Yeah, I think we retweeted or shared some tweets this morning and yesterday about the event. I just I don't know if this is makes any business sense, but maybe we could do a business farm show live from one of the farms or something.
I'd love that. That'd be really cool.
If we have time, I mean, there's some great synergy between the earlier guests, Kate and Pete. We might have a chance to chat and see about maybe some cross pollination. I'm sorry.
I know. How can you
as I was
that?
Saying that,
there's
I'm
no
like,
way to avoid it.
There's no way. Yeah,
I know.
Right?
Perfect.
Okay. So tell us about some fun things coming up.
Some fun things coming up. Well, let's see. I'll be hosting the International Farm to Table Summit in New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
I have a couple of key guests on my panel. One of them won Chopped. His name is Chef Corey Barr. He's going to be in from Louisiana. He's incredible. I also have Chef Bryce Gilmore of Barley Swine and Odd Duck in Austin, Texas.
I love those names, right?
Oh, they're great. And he's up for a James Beard Award right now.
Wow.
And I'm trying to select my Atlanta chef for this panel, but they started it last year. They have incredible people. The Wholesome Wave founder is going to be the keynote speaker. It's going to be amazing. So they've asked me for the Farm to Table panel, and so I'm in the process of putting that together.
I don't know, maybe you can throw my name in the hat as a chef. I can
come on down.
I can boil water in a microwave, but that's about it, right?
Yeah. And we'll be doing farmer markets too to get the word out.
Cool.
And we have a really cool program that's going to be launching in May with Springer Mountain Farms, and that's going to be to showcase their product at restaurants across the country.
Nice.
I'm sorry, Atlanta. Sorry, I got distracted there. I saw some thumbs up.
Yeah, so there's definitely some head nodding going on here.
So that's going to be really, really cool. Just really quickly on that,
yeah.
Springer Mountain Farms, all the restaurants in Atlanta and Nashville that have their product, if you go and Instagram their menu and you send it to us at FarmStar Living, you'll be registered to win a freezer full of chicken. And also, we're going to give out 100 super hot FarmStar Living t-shirts.
Wow.
So this is going to happen May 1st through July 5th.
Is it kind of like the one you're wearing this morning? Or
Yeah, well, actually, it's even cooler than
even
this
cooler.
One.
I don't know if you can get cooler. It looks great to me.
Thank
so,
you.
So tell our listeners, how would they get back in touch with you, or how do they find out more about your app and what's going on with FarmStar Living?
Well, we would love for you to support us and spread the word about FarmStarLiving.com.
Okay.
And also, we have an app. It's free, and it's FarmStar Living. So if you all would, you know, come and visit us and download our app and share the word, we'd be so grateful. We're all just trying to do our best to support farmers and farming.
Yeah, and we probably can't talk a whole lot about it, but just a quick plug. I know we met a couple of times, and then you were also one of the, they call it, you know, the bait pitching to the sharks, whatever, the shark attack for the Ritz Group.
Horrifying.
Yeah. I thought you did amazing, whatever. Yeah, yeah. So that was fun at the Ritz Group?
Yes, just so y'all know, I was... you know, I'm an entrepreneur, you know, and so I could always use a little financing,
exactly.
Okay, to fund some projects, all right? So they asked me to be shark bait.
Exactly.
So they did an Atlanta version of, you know, the Shark Tank, and they call it Shark Attack.
Yeah.
I really had nightmares of being swallowed up by sharks.
Right.
I swear to God, I really did.
Well, and the pictures are kind of funny because they have all sharks behind you as you're taking pictures.
But... Let me tell you, I will be branded for life in my memory of that shark attack.
But I thought... You know, you did amazing, whatever.
Thank you.
So,
I enjoyed it, you know, because I love what I do. It's an important business.
And then finally, so I know I have the Android app. Is Apple on board yet? Do you have the...
Okay, iPhone, cool. iPad.
Sweet.
It's right there on the App Store, FarmStar Living, and it's free.
All right, so farmstarliving.com.
Yes.
Thanks for being here. And
Thank
if we
you,
have
Rich.
A little extra time, I'm well, certainly to maybe chat on radio, but I think this conversation is definitely going to continue after off air as
I
well.
I love that.
Yeah,
Thank
with
you.
The folks here. So thanks again, Mary, for being here.
Thank
and
you, Rich.
We have our next guest up this morning, and kind of a different twist, although one of them has a little background in the food business. And but this morning, we're going to be talking to Anne Marie Laramie.
Yes.
Right? And Denise Dedemore.
Dedemore, that's correct.
All right, cool. Two for two so far, yeah. And so now, and in your background, it's what we're going to be talking about this morning is Kids for Coding and Advantage Learning Cooperative. It's a one-of-a-kind learning center with an emphasis on science, technology, engineering, and math, also known as STEM, right? We offer classes. They offer classes. You don't want me anywhere near teaching. But they offer classes in computing programming, game design, 3D, video, animation, robotics, and more. They're offering for grades 2 through 12. Also do summer camps, and you have program activities for after-school programs and Saturdays. And computer science, I mean, it's a critical component of innovation. I mean, we're right. This is really becoming the, what do you call, Silicon South, right? I mean, there's a lot going on here with ADTC and Atlanta Tech Village. So your goal is to motivate and inspire generations for the opportunities in their future. So welcome to the show here. How y'all doing this morning?
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about, first of all, where you guys are located, because sometimes we might get deep in the conversation. People are like, I'd love to go there, but
we're in Roswell, Georgia, right on Crabapple Road.
Okay. And how long have y'all been there?
We have been there for 15 months. And
okay.
We started the technology, Kids for Coding, in January. So that's relatively new.
Oh, okay, cool. And just for our listeners, tell us who we're speaking with, because we got two people here.
My name is Anne Marie Laramie.
Okay. And so technology classes, what are some examples of some of that are being offered at the school? And this is Denise. You're going to jump in.
Denise Dedemore. Good morning. Thank you for having me
sure.
here. A couple of the coding classes that we have are Scratch programming, which was developed by MIT. And so imagine children as young as grades 2 beginning stages of computer programming, which then integrates over 19 different mathematical concepts. So if you can, and they are actually some of our most excited children when they come to these classes. So if you can imagine children learning X and Y coordinates at the age of 7, positive and negative numbers, and being able to apply those to a program that is not only visual, but also they can create games, they can create stories, and the children love what they're doing in our classes. And so we've been very successful with people who have had their children enrolled in a 6-week course, and then they come back. So we also offer For our summer course, we're going to be offering Minecraft EDU, and I'm sure many of the listeners, and I don't know if you have children, a lot of our children are playing video games nonstop.
Right.
And Minecraft now has an educational component that's being funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So we are incorporating all of our classes as having academic enrichment. So one of our teachers for the summer program is a math literacy teacher in Forsyth County. He has developed a Minecraft mathematics curriculum, and he is going to be teaching this during the summer. So children aren't going to be just sitting at their computers at home mindlessly playing video games. They're coming to the center to learn. And so that's one class that we're offering. And Anne-Marie may want to talk about
several
others.
We're also offering robotics classes.
Really?
We're offering Mindstorms. We're offering...
What's a Mindstorm?
Mindstorms is a robotics.
Oh, okay.
It's called Mindstorms EV3, and it's one of the latest robotics programs.
From the Legos.
Oh, really? Lego mm-hmm. Legoland's right here. Or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're also learning to code it as well. We're teaching 3D video animation.
Wow,
in
that's
grades.
Hot.
Yeah, we're starting in middle school, so kids are going to get a jump start on that. We're also interested in offering a movie maker and iPhone app development.
Wow. That's crazy. That's just mind-boggling at that level or whatever, right? I mean, but that's where so much industry and money and future is going in that direction. I mean, there's just a crazy amount of opportunity there.
It is, and the schools are not offering these programs. And I'd love to read a little excerpt about this out of the New York Daily News.
Sure.
And it says, more often than not, the jobs of today and tomorrow require advanced knowledge in science and technology. In fact, by 2020, the U.S. economy will demand 120 million high-skilled workers with strong backgrounds in science, technology, engineering, and math, a set of skills commonly called STEM. The problem is only 50 million Americans will qualify for those jobs. To close that gap, our education system needs to prioritize STEM education, introduce children to it in the earlier grades, and continue these programs through high school. If our future generations are to compete in the economy of our future, STEM skills must no longer be treated as elective courses. They must become as second nature to our students as reading, writing, and arithmetic. So this is really
120 million.
What we're passionate about.
There's only about 360 million in the entire population, right? So you pretty much need to be on board, or you're going to be left behind.
Exactly.
Well, it's interesting, Rich. The schools, only about 10% of our schools in our country are actually incorporating computer technology. And what was interesting is just recently, this past week, I heard of a computer science teacher in our area that sent us an email and said that they were being, their job was no longer going to be available for them next year. And I was trying to wrap my brain around that.
Yeah.
And I've been in schools for many years, and a lot of schools do have computer labs. They have, many of them have 30 computers in a computer room.
Right.
A lot of times when you walk by those rooms, they're dark, they're dust collectors,
right.
And when teachers do take those children to those labs, they're doing more passive research, finding information, maybe doing some online practice for standardized testing, which we know that's a whole nother show right
now. Yeah. Why do you think it's not so prevalent in schools?
I think school boards are put that on the back burner. And they're not prioritizing that, because if you look at it, we still have a traditional school setting.
Right.
We have a school system that still is on an agricultural calendar. If you look back over 100 years ago, 85% of people living in this country were in agriculture. Now it's 3%, but
wow.
Yet we still have the summer. And, of course, that's a debate. Some people think that we do need to have, a large summer break. But we're getting further and further behind. And I have some interesting information. I'm sure some of you might have heard this recently. The program for international students does an assessment every 3 years. Out of 65 countries, they do reading, math, and science. And they test over 500,000 students globally, 15-year-olds, in reading, math, and science. And those 15-year-olds are representing the 28 million 15-year-olds across the world globally. Where we are in math right now in the U.S. in ranking worldwide, we're 29th in math. We're up from 23 in 2009.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. We're actually, so if you think about it, Vietnam is at the same level as the United States.
Wow.
We are 21st now in reading, and that was up from 9th. So we have lost ground.
Big time, yeah.
Big time. And in science, we're now 22nd in the world.
Jeez.
So what has happened is our education system is stagnant.
Right.
And the American Secretary, Education Secretary Arne Duncan, he has said, we must invest in education. We must make these types of courses that are going to teach lifelong 21st century skills, which will then lead to jobs in the future available to students, but there's not the funding for it. So, you know, what is interesting about all of this is our children love technology, and we think...
Oh, they're constantly connected.
They're constantly,
yeah.
You know,
so
you'll see
it's a generational kind of thing that... the decision makers and the school boards, organizations, they're kind of not living in the past or whatever, but because they haven't really adapted it, they haven't come on board with the technology.
They haven't.
Right?
That's part of it. And,
so,
and I think, but kids are also, we are big consumers of technology, but we don't necessarily understand the logic behind the technology.
I'll raise my hand there. Whenever you buy the gadget and you're like, and you only maybe use 10% of the device
of that product. And so we're hoping, you know, learning to code and learning to program is like learning a foreign language. When is the best time to learn a foreign language? When you're younger.
It's true.
And so
that's
if these kids are starting these classes in second and third grade, fourth and fifth grade, they're going to be so much, they're really going to be farther ahead when they are going for these jobs.
So do you have a Rosetta Stone version for folks like us or whatever, right, to catch up? Or that's maybe what the school board, you need to kind of, I don't know what the...
Here's what we're seeing happening as we have really started to understand. There's a grassroots movement where you have cooperatives that are outside of your regular school systems that are actually parents are taking matters into their own hands because they're not getting the resources for their children in the regular school setting, public or private.
Right.
And so...
That's where you guys come
in,
right?
That's where
That's
in.
That's great.
That's where we come in. And we have a very inviting center.
I went to the website. It's really impressive, whatever.
Neat.
The faculty and then the just the visuals of the classroom. I mean, it looks kind of high-tech, like you're at Google's headquarters or something or whatever, right? You know?
It's very inviting.
Yeah, it's very, yeah.
It's very inviting. We do have something on the wall, which is quite interesting, and I think this applies. When you walk in, it's a statement on the wall, and it says, the essence of mathematics is not to make simple things complicated, but to make complicated things simple. And I think that applies not only to mathematics, but reading, science, and incorporating technology, because we do need to train a workforce.
Right.
Otherwise, if we don't have our children learning what other children are learning in countries that are developing, the United States is going to be left behind.
Big time. I'm probably more a testament to the earlier part of your statement than the latter, but it reminds me of one of my favorite quotes, which is simplify life to elevate purpose. Mm-hmm. So if you can kind of like clear all of this clutter and kind of streamline things and eliminate the stuff that's just causing, you know, noise around you, simplify life, you can elevate purpose, right? So that's kind of a little bit of what you're talking to. So tell us a little bit about, I think most people's perception might be, especially if you go to some of these tech events or whatever, right, that it's a male-dominated, you know, field in technology, right? You think of the WizKids and, You know, so is that somewhat true or a misnomer or? I'm talking to two ladies here, so
it,
I mean.
It is very true, and I think that we are trying to inspire more young girls to take coding classes, and we have talked about offering a girls-only coding class.
Okay.
The girls and boys do fine together, but certainly they're probably 70% boys in the class and 30% girls, sometimes fewer girls. But the girls are amazing. They're very detail-oriented, and they're very enthusiastic about the programs.
Well, they're probably more interactive with social media platforms and the technology, but now you got to kind of take them a step back and figure out, like you said, the coding behind it, the technology behind it, and
right,
and where they can maybe, besides just, you know, adding more friends or followers, that way they can actually turn that into, you know, a position and a career.
Right. I mean, imagine when we see children playing with all the apps and the tablets and the computers, and even at, you know, even I've had children come in, younger siblings come in, and they're all over their parents' iPhone. And and what is interesting is they're using it, and as Anne Marie said, we are consumers, but we're not learning our way around a computer and how to use a computer. And you think we should be learning and teaching children how to analyze, to see patterns, how to problem solve, how to make things simpler, better, and faster. And so, you know, that's where a business like ours comes in, that's filling a need in a community. And what we have also done is sought after people who are industry professionals and certified teachers. And it's interesting now, people are contacting us and saying, I want to be part of your center.
We
love
to teach
what you're
at
doing
our center.
Yeah.
And teach at our center.
Who are... what does a typical teacher, I guess, look like, or what are some of their backgrounds? Or,
well, all age groups and men and women. We have one teacher that we just hired. He is from Egypt. We've talked about offering a coding class in another language, possibly Arabic or French. He worked was it Microsoft in Egypt?
And yes.
Very interesting.
Okay. But now, what about online, or is this all in the space here?
Everything is done in the classroom. We don't offer any online classes at this time.
Okay. Which is, I think, kind of cool because, you know, it's that interaction and that the blend of both, right? The best of both,
right,
where they're, you know, like in a typical school, that social element, interaction, and, you know, and a teacher right there that can read the student's interaction and level of... what I'm trying to say.
Participation,
or where they're gaining the message. Fill in the blanks right there. Help me out. Yeah,
they're engaged.
They're very engaged. So, okay, great. So, tell us, our listeners, audience, how they might get in touch with you all and find out about the school and you know, find out about y'all.
Absolutely. They can go to our website, which is easykidsforcoding.com, or they can email us at info@advantagelearningcooperativeabbreviatedcoop.com.
Cool. Well, thanks for being here, and
hope we can
send some more students and professors and
thank you very much.
Y'all's way. Yeah. What is the capacity right now? I guess what's your current, I guess, enrollment? What could you expand into?
Our classes are never more than 12 students at a time. So our classes range from 6 to 12 students.
Okay.
And then we have 3 classrooms.
Okay.
So usually there's 1 or 2 classes going on at a time, sometimes more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Our hope is that we can end up getting some partnerships that might see the importance of bringing in and helping us with adding more computers, because sometimes parents come and they have 3 children, but they don't have 3.
They have
computers.
One laptop, computer,
so or it's outdated or something.
Yeah, exactly. We're trying to find some partnerships with that.
Well, so, Anne Marie and Denise, thanks for being here this morning. Really enjoyed it, and I feel a little bit smarter already. Whatever, right? I feel like I got a free class or whatever. Yeah,
wonderful.
Nice.
Thank you.
So we just have a couple minutes left, and so we thought maybe we'd bring the folks back in here again about Farm Star Living and the flower show. Did y'all have some thoughts of pollinating?
Oh my gosh, I have so many thoughts, but I wanted to just jump in real quick with Denise and Anne Marie. This is Kate Chura from the Southeastern Hort Society. Cool. We're creating a digital outdoor classroom at our East Lake site, and I would love to work with you on that.
Wonderful.
We got funding from Sprint. It's all going to be solar powered. And it's going to be, people can come in and interact anytime they're out there at the Learning Garden and the
that
Urban Farm.
Awesome. I would love that.
And Anne Marie, we may have to have you back for a future show because we don't have time right now, but just give us a little teaser that you have a project there, food related.
Yes, I do. I run a CSA called Local Food Stop. We started in Roswell, Georgia with, believe it or not, just six people. And in the last, since 2008, we now have 2,500 on our mailing list and over 900 on our Facebook page. And we offer only organic produce from local farms, local and regional farms.
And a one-line mission statement or elevator pitch, what's the mission, the big picture there for that project?
The big picture is to support local farms.
Okay.
And we have CSA programs at several of our locations, too. And Anne-Marie and I talked about that a little bit, so we're going to see if
there's
we can connect there.
There's a lot of collaboration.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to kind of hog the mic for a few minutes. But and then Mary's got this great app. And again, we've got six learning gardens at Urban Farms that we're running in Atlanta. And I would love to get connected with you.
Oh, I love that. That sounds like exactly something I'd love to showcase, to our people, our audience about, write a story on, maybe even come there. And
we have the only U-Pick Farmers Market in Atlanta. We retrofitted an old gasoline station and put a 70 raised bed farm on it.
You've got to be kidding.
And you can come.
Where is that?
It's in Eastlake on the corner of 2nd Avenue and Jose Williams. So you just show up. We hand you printers. You go into the farm. It's very kid-friendly. People bring their children and their dogs, and you pick exactly what you want, weigh it, pay for it, and off you go.
Well, we got to put you on the app and on our website, and we're also doing a big story on U-Pick Farms in May. That's our fun activity for people to go out and do.
Talk about timing.
I do want to give a little plug out to all the farmers markets. They've all, independent of any one person, have gotten together and have put the schedules together now where the farmers markets are all kind of happening on different days. There's some crossovers on some, but we moved ours to Tuesday because there wasn't a farmers market open on Tuesdays in our area. So you can go to this farmers market on Saturday, this one on Sunday, this one on Monday, this one on Tuesday, this one on Wednesday. So it might be a nice way for you with your great app to let people know that.
Yeah, is that something that could be integrated or added? Or maybe on the website or something like that. Or is there already a website that lists all of the farmers? There's no website
that lists all the farmers market? No.
Should be a calendar or something. I know I go to the one sometimes in Sandy Springs.
They're not all connected yet.
Okay, yeah. Well, we'll tackle that our next project or whatever. Yeah.
Gosh, put it on the list.
Yeah.
But no, we would definitely be able to add you to the app and farmstarliving.com as a place for people to go and visit in Georgia and Atlanta.
And they can see the pig, the potbelly pig, Albert. The pygmy goats.
Oh, wow.
The chickens.
How cute is that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so we just did some business real quick. And Pete, tell us just a minute, because I went to your website as well, and it's not related to farming, but it's an interesting, give us a one-line elevator pitch, I guess, on what you do when you're not out there helping plants and fruits and vegetables.
What I do, and I appreciate the chances just to share it, is I'm basically a matchmaker. And what I do is I help bring brands together with companies who can extend their brands into new categories of products. So an example of that is Rubbermaid makes bath mats, right? They used to manufacture them themselves. They found out that they could no longer do that profitably, but they didn't want to get out of the category. So I helped them a couple of years ago find a company in the Northeast who made amazing bath mats, and we licensed the brand to this company, and now they make those bath mats on behalf of Rubbermaid and pay Rubbermaid a royalty. And as you can imagine, a great bath mat with a great brand is going to do better than a great brand that's not making bath mats profitably. And so my background is marketing and branding, and I've had a little bit of sponsorship in there too. And so it's been great to be able to connect with the Southeastern Horticultural Society around this really cool project that I'm working on, and I certainly hope to stay connected with them.
Yeah, yeah. But I was definitely intrigued, so we may have to have you back for another show for about branding. But tell us the website real quick for the branding.
Yeah, it's Brand Licensing Expert. That's singular in the word expert.com.
Cool. Well, we are out of time for this morning's show for Buckhead Business Radio X. Rich Casanova signing off for another week. And this was interesting, this blend, and we may have to do this again, kind of the little bit of a theme or bringing people together. But thanks for all of our guests for being here this morning. Hope you'll tune in. We'll see you next week.